Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Today, the three parties that make up the Pakatan Harapan Coalition agreed to name Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim as their pick for Prime Minister if the coalition wins the next general election. This marks an official shift in the focus for the grouping after several failed attempts by Anwar to realise his claims of a parliamentary majority. In what Pakatan calls the Port Dickson resolution, the three parties reiterated their openness to cooperation with other stakeholders, their focus on the achievements of Pakatan-led states, and also called for Parliament to be reconvened. However, expectations of some quarters that there would be a discussion of leadership renewal in the pact did not materialise. Badrul Hisham Ismail joins us now. He's the Director of Programmes for Iman Research. Badrul, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I'm wondering, do you think it was a smart move by Pakatan to once more nominate Anwar Ibrahim as candidate for Prime Minister in the next general elections?
Well, I guess we have to look at from sort of two perspectives here. If we're talking about short term, then any decision is a good decision, especially when if you're talking about election that is going to come in very short notice, like a few months' time. Prolonging the discussion of who's going to be the Prime Minister candidate or the leader of the pact will, you know, delay any kind of mobilization toward the election. So deciding on someone, regardless of who, is a good decision to make. But I guess if we're talking about long term, if we're talking about, you know, building new generation of leaders and making sure this, you know, Pakatan Harapan can survive, you know, in the long run, then, you know, sticking to the same old people might not be a good symbol to prove that they are committed in the long-term goal of, you know, not only pushing for reform but maintaining reform when if they, you know, got into power.
But Rolf, I could ask you about their own voter base and whether the voter base, and not political analysts, not, you know, casual observers, but the voter base, their loyalists, do they want stability in terms of leadership or are they themselves looking for renewal?
I would say both. I would say they want a renewal in a very stable environment. And, you know, at different time, you have to prioritize different, you know, aspects in a situation where things are fractured, uncertainty is, you know, have been on the in the back of everyone's mind. So stability might be something that they need. And like I said earlier, it's not really about who they decided. It's about the fact that they actually decided on someone is the fact that it's a good, you know, it's a good thing that they do finally.
Can I ask you, are there any alternatives in Pakatan Harapan at the moment? I mean, within PH, who are the alternatives to leadership?
Well, of course, there are a lot of younger politicians that have been around for quite some time, even almost right after, or, you know, since Reformasi days. You have people like Safuddin Nasution. You have people Nurul Izzah herself. Even in Amanah, you have a person like Salahuddin, who's been around for a long time, and people know them as a national figure. So if they want to pick somebody else, they can. But, you know, they just need to decide on it.
But do you think, though, in terms of Malaysian political culture, familiarity with figures is really an important part of the way in which parties operate? That while there might be more competent leaders, those, as you say, who represent a new generation and, you know, a new way of thinking and doing things, that in fact there is some security that people find in the old figures. And so, therefore, we could have Dr. Mahathir in his 90s returning to lead the country. Is there something to be said about this impulse to cling on to the tried and tested, as it were?
I mean, you can have familiar faces, but they don't necessarily have to play the same role. You know, as people go through life, you know, people themselves play different roles. You are the child and you are a brother or sister, and then you become the parent and you become grandparent. So you can always be important to whoever that you are serving, whoever the community, either, you know, on a small scale community or a national scale. But the roles can be different. Just because you are still active in helping and, you know, running the political party in this context that we're talking about doesn't mean that you have to be the president. And, you know, look at PAS, for example. They have a Mushiril Am position and they have the president position, and they both play, equal, if not, but slightly different role. So other parties can still do the same thing.
That's quite interesting. You're citing PAS as an example of, you know, an evolving leadership role, perhaps some succession planning. Because I'm wondering, you know, whether PKR is not unique in showing a lack of resolve in its succession planning, looking at other parties. Is this a political culture in Malaysia, that succession planning doesn't seem to be inherent, that we don't seem to have the resolve for that? Or is it, you know, just within PKR? Are you seeing this in other parties, PAS aside?
I think other parties have something, are facing something similar. Well, the only party that I know of that actually has a term limit for its leadership is DAP. They have a term limit for their Secretary General. So that forces, you know, new leadership to come up or to be groomed for the next, you know, for the next one. PAS has those two different, you know, key positions that somewhat, you know, put them in a way that they can move around different, you know, individuals in their leadership playing different roles. But other parties doesn't seem to have that. Not just PKR, even UMNO doesn't have it. Amanah doesn't have it, and I'm sure Bersatu and all that doesn't have that kind of term limit as well.
But in the last bit that we have, when you look down south, and there've been discussions about the PAP, when it looks at succession planning, they have a G4 and a G5, leadership lined up, preparing the public for expectations of, you know, the rise of these individuals. Is that something to aspire to?
I'm not sure whether you want to tell Malaysians that they should aspire to Singapore. But there are things that we can learn from that. And if we are really serious about grooming next generation, and not just one generation, but generations ahead, you need to put some mechanism in place to ensure that can happen, because you can't just rely on the mercy of one leader to groom others. Because if you're in a position where they don't want to let go, and we've seen that in the country, we see that Anwar doesn't seem to want to let go. Even Mahathir hasn't been letting go, even when he tried to jump into different parties, right? So having this kind of mechanism does put in place the kind of space for young people to think that they can have the chance to go into the next leadership.
All right, Badrul, thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
After this, we're going to turn our attention to the regions of Sabah and Sarawak and their increasingly important role in national coalition politics. Stay tuned to consider this.